How he got there and why was not that clear. He found himself waking up in a new home right on the coast. Among several bright rooms, one was exceptional. Its huge, frameless window that covered almost an entire wall was facing the ocean, occasionally getting poked by the waves when the tide was in. The effect was stunning. While sitting there facing this analog screen, he would study the approaching waves with great comfort and no sense of threat. Even on stormy days when hit over and over by the unrestrained force of the ocean, the glass would tremble, adding to the visual drama, yet still protecting the indoor space. The house was in raw condition, completely unfurnished. It felt as if this hypnotic spectacle intentionally kept him from even thinking of making the interior more inhabitable. The only thing he had with him was his backpack with recording equipment. It was resting unused against one of the walls of this intertidal room. There was no point in making any recordings, because tides cycled there forever. At some point in the day, he heard a massive noise coming from the direction of this intertidal room. At first, he thought he was missing some exceptional waves, but when he rushed in to check, he realized that the noise was caused by something completely different. There was a strange machine violently tearing down the glass wall and gradually progressing into the room. Taking advantage of the low tide, this mechanized monster must have silently approached the house from the side of the ocean. There was no chance to block it. He picked up his backpack and ran away as fast as he could, escaping the noise of the falling rubble before it reached his ears.
A small puddle. One of the many gifts left by the waves, returning now to their mother ocean. The tide is very low, and the water is pulled away by a thirsty moon, hidden somewhere behind the horizon. Only pools remain here and there. This moment of equilibrium, when the tide is low and not yet ready to come back, has a name. It is called slack or dead water. But it has nothing to do with deadness. Quite the opposite. What is usually a short patch of the beach now stretches quite far off. The edge between the water and sand blurs. I hear it more clearly than I see it. My eyes no longer need to look for it. A flock of seagulls excitedly scavenges near the edge, benefiting from the plethora of sea creatures who didn't get to catch their last wave home. They move restlessly from one part of the exposed beach to another, encouraging each other and speculating about the ebbs and flows of the seawater, like stockbrokers about the market fluctuation. I'm somewhere between this elusive edge and the peak of the beach, marked by a human-made seawall, between nature and culture, or at both ends at the same time. At first, all elements of this intertidal landscape seem quite repetitive, even uniform. But with every step closer and every minute that passes, the multiplicity of scales at which life happens here reveals itself. On, around, and below each rock, a unique settlement of living matter vibrates. Countless constellations of mussels, kelps, clams, and barnacles crown roofs of rocks that stick out from the tidal pools, each with a different contour and different depth. In every pool, there resides a temporary community, each continuously granted and dispossessed of its home. The resolute forces of tidal waters bring their inhabitants together, and for several hours, they are bound to coexist, regain energy, prey on each other, or collaborate. Punctuated only by squealing of seagulls and occasional splashes of water, the soundscape is monotonous. I reach into my backpack, pull out my hydrophones and lower them gently into one of the pools. I put my headphones on. While looking at barnacles, limpets, mussels, a couple of little crabs and other creatures whose names I don't even know, I hear almost nothing. The water muffles the sounds from above the surface. Only after a few minutes, when the underwater life returns to its balance, disturbed by my intervention, I can start hearing its rhythms. Recent studies suggest that behavioral patterns of intertidal species directly manifest lunisolar variations, the gravitational forces that create tides. In other words, the behaviors mirror the relationship of our planet with the Moon and the Sun. Even when taken out of their native environments and put in a lab, tidal crabs still move in accordance to these variations. Those strong biological patterns do not result from their adaptation skills or memory, but seem to be more likely innate to them. This small tidal pool and its inhabitants compose an earthly microcosm, governed by forces that originated far beyond our planetary scope. Barnacles, mussels, crabs, skeleton shrimp and limpets, scraping off the algae with the strongest teeth on our planet, are the composers of the soundscape that we hear. Just as the shapes and behaviors of those organisms reflect the lunisolar variations, so are all those sounds their acoustic manifestations.